You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
So since this KiwiBuild announcement, concerns have been voiced over who is eligible to apply for a home and how fair this is and how effective the process of allocation is going to be. I spoke to Claire Szabo, Chief Executive of Habitat for Humanity New Zealand, about what they think the scheme does and does not achieve. A little disclaimer, there was a band playing in the studio next door during this interview, so apologies for any ambient sound, but enjoy.
So I think what we've got in New Zealand is we've had falling rates of home ownership since about 1991. So that's, you know, going on, coming up 30 years of decline in terms of home ownership rates, and you know, that's a bad thing. I think it's particularly bad because it disproportionately affects some groups, and some people have really, you know, groups of people have really lost out of this situation. So what is good about the government's now really stepping up and saying we're going to act boldly in the area of home ownership access is that, you know, it's the start of the reversal of effectively a 30-year trend, and it's definitely not the last piece of work that needs to be done, but it's really, I think it's a good day for housing because we're seeing the start of a really important process.
So some of the criticisms or worries about the scheme have been about sort of the eligibility and the fairness of who is going to be allowed or allocated places to buy these houses. The income caps were announced this week, with a single person must be under $120,000 salary a year and couples $180,000. This obviously captures a big group, but especially for singles, it's quite a large income range. And paired with a lottery system, do you think this is a good and fair way of allocating who the homes will be available to?
Yeah, really good question. And so I think one of the things that I don't believe has really been understood well yet and hasn't really entered into the public discourse on this is that, okay, we've got high income levels there, very high income levels actually, but we're also talking about housing, and especially in places like Auckland, where we might be talking about a $650,000 home, which is, you know, against median house prices, which is over $1 million in Auckland. Mm. That is a big achievement of the government to get it down to that level. But the realism is, to service a mortgage on a $650,000 home and to come up with a deposit on that, you're going to need a big income. So we're not actually, if we think about who's going to be able to access this product, it's not people on $40,000 incomes, it's not people on $60,000 incomes. So when we say, okay, the cap for a single is $120,000, there's also a floor. Now the floor is something that isn't being discussed because it's not part of the government's eligibility criteria, but you can be sure it'll be part of the bank's eligibility criteria, right, to get a mortgage. So while it might be possible theoretically for a whole bunch of people to apply for these homes, it's only going to be possible for those people who can actually stump some kind of deposit and get a bank mortgage and service thousands of dollars a month in mortgage costs to get into this program. So it's not clear yet actually the size of that group. What is clear to us at Habitat for Humanity as a housing organisation is that this is going to help a group of people who currently can't access home ownership, but it's not going to help people who are, you know, poor or who are, you know, really struggling, or even necessarily who are on median incomes in some of the more expensive parts of the country.
What about so people who do have the income? What about prioritisation within that? You know, if there's a single parent who does maybe have a reasonably or an income over the median or the mean, against someone who is single and with no people dependent on them.
You are really speaking my language there, because I think that what this does not do, a ballot system is clearly about randomising access. It doesn't purport to take into consideration things like worthiness or need, or things like vulnerable children or any of those sorts of things. So it doesn't purport to do that. What I am aware of is that the government is seriously looking at, and you know, we're part of a group of organisations in a consultation at the moment that are looking at what adjuncts, what additional policies, what supplementary budget bids need to be put in place in order to make sure that that particular groups in need can access, you know, can have a pathway to accessing home ownership as well. So this is, if this was the only policy that the government was coming out with on housing, we'd all be concerned. We know that it isn't, and it probably, in terms of sequencing, needs to be the first one to get sorted, because it will put the grand mechanism, policy mechanism in place to put other policies around it to target groups that will, you know, will not be served by this. Mm-hmm. So those policies couldn't be put in place without the Kiwi Build infrastructure. So I can see that there is sequencing happening here, and I can see that there is a lot more work to be done to deliver on people who have specific needs, because Kiwi Build, as it's been announced today, won't do that.
What sort of things would you like to be done firstly, now that it's out?
So yeah, so I think the discussion, we need to get our heads around, all of us need to get our heads around exactly what Kiwi Build is going to be able to deliver and for what group of people. And that will differ a little bit up and down the country, because affordability differs up and down the country, wages differ up and down the country. And then I think we need to really have a jolly good look at two things. One is really about housing. So it's about whether there are groups out there who do not have decent housing right now, can't access it because they don't have access to home ownership products. You know, they're being shunted around rentals, trying to bring up families, or dealing with people with disabilities, or, you know, completely substandard arrangements, and targeting home ownership products for those sorts of groups. But the second, I think the second really important aspect to this that I think we'd be passionate about as Habitat for Humanity is to say there's an access to wealth, access to capital question here. So when groups of people have access to capital and other groups of people don't, then that creates intergenerational injustices,
yeah,
that are not about housing, they're actually about your access and your participation in the economy.
Mm.
And we know that, of course, having a fixed place of abode also gives you access to the health system, the education system, to the electoral system, to all the other ways that you participate in the world. So there's some real important justice issues here to make sure that we need to reverse some of the cruel trends we've seen over the last 30 years, groups missing out on access, not just to a decent place to live, but actually their ticket to the game, to participate in society and to be part of New Zealand's growing wealth. So those two things are really, really key, because home ownership is actually the vast proportion of people's access to capital as households.
Are there any final things you would like to add?
So I guess our key feeling about this policy as Habitat for Humanity is that it is absolutely a really, really welcome step to reverse a 30-year trend. And we know that it's just one step. It's definitely not going to do all the things that need to be done in order to tidy up the housing economy. And no one policy would be. But so we need to keep working on it. But it is a good day in housing, and we're just keen to keep going and stay on the program.
95BFM Podcasts. 95BFM is supported by our listeners. Sign up for a Simplicity B-card at 95bfm.com/signup and support independent media from $4.20 a month.